Hey, I'm Emily Alphen Johnson, VPR Digital Producer, and you're listening to the Vermont Edition podcast. This episode has been edited for clarity and brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. A lot of the conversation about foreign workers in Vermont focuses on agricultural jobs, whether it's legal seasonal work on Vermont's apple orchards or undocumented workers on our state's dairies. But Vermont's hospitality sector leans on seasonal foreign workers as well. From ski areas in the wintertime to summer resorts and clubs like Basin Harbor in Vergennes, businesses that have a big seasonal boom often rely on employees from other countries to fill in the gaps when they can't hire enough locals. These workers usually come in on federal H-2B visas, but the government has been putting pressure on this program by capping the numbers nationwide at 66,000 visas per year, and that's split up between two application windows. Those visas are snapped up within days, leaving many employers high and dry when they're looking for help. Vermont's seasonal businesses are expressing concern, and today we're going to talk about why they say they need these foreign workers, what kinds of jobs are taken by these visa holders, and why some people say reducing their numbers could actually be a good thing for Vermont. I'm joined now by Vermont's new Commissioner of Tourism and Marketing, Wendy Knight. Wendy, nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Jane. It's great to be here.
What are some of the types of places and jobs that seasonal foreign workers have in Vermont outside of the agricultural sector?
Right. So in the tourism industry, the foreign workers are positions are being filled in the housekeeping, the kitchen. There's a lot of need for cooks and food preps. In the ski industry, it's the lift operators, recreation attendants, wait staff. So you see it primarily in the lodging and accommodation sector. You see it in the ski resorts, and then you see it in the restaurant workers.
Do you know how many of these visa holders come into Vermont each year?
I don't have recent statistics. The most recent statistics I have are from 2015. According to the Department of Labor for Vermont, the H-2B visas, we had a total of 34 applicants processed. It's not a huge volume. What we're finding and hearing from the industry is that often these are crucial positions. So, for example, there's a shortage of ski and snowboard instructors across the country, not just in Vermont, and cooks as well. And so when you're a lodging resort that needs to feed people and you can't find cooks, not only in Vermont, but anywhere in the U.S., that poses a problem.
And that's one of the requirements of this visa program, is that employers have to show that they have not been able to find anybody locally or anywhere in the United States that can fill that position.
Correct. It's a very rigorous program. So it's a federal program, and there are certain requirements. They have to demonstrate that there are not enough U.S. workers that are either qualified or able or available to fill those jobs. They have to demonstrate that hiring those foreign workers through H-2B will not adversely affect the U.S. workers or their wages, and they have to demonstrate that they're temporary, so they're allowed to come in for 10 months at a time.
One might argue, though, and many people do, that it's not so much that workers are unavailable, it's that they're unwilling to work difficult jobs for very low wages, which these often are, and that if employers just paid a little bit more, they might find that those workers are available. What's your take on that?
So that's a valid question, but to me, it comes across almost as a simple solution to a very complex problem. So we know that there is a shortage of workers in Vermont. We know it from statistics. We have the Department of Labor tells us that. The Vermont Futures Project has been telling us that. We hear it from businesses, regional economic development corporations. There just simply aren't enough workers in Vermont to fill these jobs. One of the other criteria is that they have to pay prevailing wages. So this H-2B visa program is not a way for tourist businesses to hire foreign workers at lower wages at the expense of Vermont workers. That's just not what happens. I mean, the average wage for an H-2B visa worker in Vermont is roughly $25,000. Now, that might range from $19,000 for a recreation attendant to $31,000 for
that's prorated for the whole year, right?
Correct.
That would be a yearly salary.
Correct, the average wage. Yeah, so we're looking at, when you look at the types
of... But that's still a very low wage. I mean, $25,000 a year is a very low wage.
Correct, and it's a low wage, but these are low-paying jobs. These are seasonal part-time positions.
But I guess that would be the argument, right? If you pay more, whether you're offering to pay Vermonters more or foreign workers more, it's not that you're saying we're going to pay foreign workers less and Vermont workers more, but you're saying this job pays so little that Vermonters don't find it a livable wage.
Well, what I'm hearing from the tourist community is they can't get these Vermonters to take these jobs. So they are recruiting. Green Mountain Inn and Stowe, has a 30-mile radius of recruiting. They cannot fill the position with Vermont workers. You know, I asked Penny Beach from fourth-generation host from Basin Harbor Club yesterday.
In Vergennes,
this question. You know, why don't you just pay workers more? And she had an interesting response to me. She said, okay, let's play that out. I'll pay your workers more money, and then they become my workers. So I've solved my problem. But now what are you going to do? Because you can't find the workers. So for me, it's very much, and for the industry, it's very much an issue of supply. We need more workers in Vermont. We need to grow our economy, which is frankly why Governor Scott has made economic growth one of his chief policy priorities. We need to grow the economy so that we can have more workers. The other thing we know from the industry is the volume of these workers are small. The ski industry, for example, we have 20 ski resorts in Vermont. Only 5 of them are tapping into the H-2B visa program. And within that, it's just to fill the last 5% of their employment needs. So it's not a massive amount we're talking about. It's a really specific program that enables these very seasonal businesses to hire the workers they need so that they can operate at a level of service that their guests, quite frankly, demand and need for them to be returning guests.
Candace White works in the corporate office at Sugarbush Resorts, and she joins us on the line now. Candace, nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Jane, and thanks, Wendy. Nice to be here.
You know, we've been looking specifically at this H-2B visa, which is, as we've talked about, a seasonal, non-agricultural, non-skilled worker program. At Sugarbush, I understand you actually use the J-1 visa program, which allows foreigners who are students in their home country to come to Vermont or anywhere else in the United States and work for 3 months and then travel for 1 month. Why does Sugarbush go that route?
Exactly. Well, we looked into the J-1 program last summer, really because we were having a very difficult time filling the numerous jobs that we need to fill during the winter season. We go from about 150 full-time year-round employees in the summer up to over 1,000 employees in the wintertime. And it's been a struggle for us. And we had 4 departments in particular that really needed some help filling positions, and that was our facilities department, our food and beverage, housekeeping, and our mountain operations departments. So we worked with a company called InterExchange out of New York City, and we held a 3-day series of Skype interviews with students from Peru. And they were all, you know, during our winter, that was their summer break. So, you know, it's just a job during the summer. And they would come over on a 4-month visa, as you said, 3 months to work and then 1 month to travel. We had some specific requirements. We requested that the students have excellent English language skills and that some of them had some culinary background because they would be specifically working in our food and beverage department. And, you know, we had incredible success with this program. We brought 16 students over. They were, you know, very professional, articulate. They had really high-quality guest service experience, and we had a great experience with them, and we absolutely would will pursue this program again. And last year, as I said, we filled 16 positions. This year, we're looking to hire as many as 40.
So why do you need these workers then? Why are you unable to find Vermont students, for example, or local college students who are in Vermont who might want to do that same type of job?
I mean, that's a good question, Jane. And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if kids are now doing internships or they don't want to work. I mean, certainly we have a lot of Harwood Union students come in and work for us. We reach out to CVU. We reach out to UVM. So our HR team they're using a lot of different resources to get the word out and to recruit. We have different incentives to, you know, cash incentives if you bring a friend on to work here. And I think we also offer some great benefits. If you're a seasonal part-time worker here, you're still getting a free season pass to ski and ride. A lot of our employees get to use our health and recreation center. If you're here in the summer, you are able to use the golf course. So, you know, I think we offer a lot, but we still come up short every season. And so the J-1 program has been really important to us. And I speak with our food and beverage director, Jerry Nooney, and he said, you know, I hate to think of next year without some of our J-1 students.
And when you talk with him and he says, I would hate to see next year without them, is that actually a concern that there might not be a J-1 program that you can take advantage of?
Well, you know, I think the H-2B program is more in the news than the J-1, but our understanding is that with the tightening of the immigration laws, there will be fewer visas given out for the J-1 program. And as I said, in our experience, we would like to more than double the J-1 students we bring in next year.
Candace, how much do you pay the J-1 students?
So we pay, starting wage for a seasonal part-time employee or full-time employee, I mean, it can start as low as minimum wage, but it can go up $1 to $3 an hour, kind of depending on, the specifics of that job. These are not, they're not high-tech workers. So we're paying them an hourly wage, but we're also giving them very discounted lodging. So we provide lodging for all our J-1 students, as well as another, we also provide that to our American workers, some of our American workers who are here. We provide free group ski lessons, discounted ski equipment, benefits to our health and recreation center. We also provided free transportation to our J-1 students. So through V-Ride, we rented a van and we used that to transport them to their various cultural experiences that they went on while they were here. We also have a MAD bus, which is a free shuttle bus between our two mountains, and then that goes down into the valley. So it's not a high dollar wage, but there are a lot of benefits that go along with that. And I remember when I was in college working in Nantucket for the summer, for example, living with, sharing a bedroom with three other people and working minimum wage jobs and kind of piecing it together, because that's what you did then.
Right. Let's go to Matt, who's calling in from Weathersfield. Hi, Matt. Go right ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I have a question about lodging and food. I noticed I've seen these people working at other resorts, and you charge them the exorbitant amount of money for lodging and food, and they're basically your hostage there. I think that's a downside of this program. So then you're paying minimum wage, but they're paying full prices for lodging and food at your resorts, which is really high.
Matt, where are you? You say you're seeing this happen, or is that just hearsay for you?
I have seen it happen in the past.
Yeah. Matt, I take your point, and I don't think you're singling out Sugarbush, but Candace, while we have you here, because this is a way that you operate in terms of having workers who live on site, you mentioned that you offered them very discounted lodging. How do you respond to somebody like Matt who's saying you're bringing workers in, they don't have the ability to leave because they're on a very specific visa, so they can't say, this job is not working, I'm out of here. And, yeah. You have them a little bit under your control more than a normal worker would be. I mean, Matt takes it further, but...
That's true. I mean, at Sugarbush, anyway, I feel like we go out of our way to make it a good experience for the students. As I said, we provide very discounted lodging. We provided a lot of them just free winter gear because they didn't have it because they were coming from a warm weather country. They get 50% off of all of the food at our resort. So we really try to make it an affordable experience for them. And as I said, we had 16 students. Seven have already asked to return for this year. So, I mean, I think that's indicative of the experience that they had here. They made friends. They learned how to ski. I think they had a great time.
Candace White is Vice President of Communications and Guest Services at Sugarbush Resort. Candace, I really appreciate you sharing your resort's experience with us. Thank you.
Well, thanks so
much, Jane. We're talking about foreign seasonal workers, how the program works in Vermont, as we heard from Candace White. Sometimes students from other countries come in on a J-1 visa. Often in Vermont, employers are looking at an H-2B visa, which is a seasonal, non-agricultural, non-skilled worker visa. It's a temporary visa. Todd's calling in from Shrewsbury. Hi, Todd. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Jane, and thanks for taking my call. My experience goes back probably 20 years or so. I worked for a number of years as a night snowmaker at our local ski area, Killington, and also worked for one season also nights at Pico. And my experience back then was one of exploitation. Killington was pretty much the only show in town back in the early 80s for employment. And, you know, I like the work to some degree, and I certainly love some of the fringe benefits like the seasonal pass. But the bottom line is we were working 60-hour work weeks, 12-hour shifts every night in some of the harshest conditions in Vermont for minimum wage, maybe 10 cents above. And, you know, it really started to turn into almost a joke year after year toward the end of the season when the ski area really didn't need a large labor supply. They would look for any excuse possible to fire you, and then, you know, for the most ridiculous reasons. And then they would rehire you again the next year. This suppressed wage schedule still exists today. I've got a close friend who's a ski instructor. He's been with Killington for, I believe, close to 20 years, and I believe he's making maybe $14 an hour teaching skiing, you know, at one of the preeminent ski areas in the country.
But Todd, at what point do you say, you know, that's the business, and if you don't want to do that work for that pay, you find a different business to be in, and if nobody will do that work, then and there are limits on the visas, then the ski resorts would be forced to raise their prices.
Well, I would spin that around, Jane. Mm-hmm. I think the problem isn't that no one wants to do the work. The problem is that no one wants to do the work at that wage. And this is precisely my point. I believe that there's a very real risk that importing cheap labor does nothing but help further the ability of places like Killington to further suppress their wage schedules.
Todd, I take your point and appreciate sharing your personal experience with us. Wendy Knight is, again, new commissioner of tourism and marketing, and she's in the studio with us today. You know, here's Todd saying that that's his own personal experience, is that having these foreign workers who will come in at these wages suppresses the wages for Vermonters.
Right. But what we're seeing, that's not the case. I mean, we're seeing, again, the visa requirements for H-2B foreign workers is that they need to pay the prevailing wage.
But that's the point that Todd's making. The prevailing wage is low because they know, Vermonters know, that that's the wage, that there will be foreign workers who will come in and do it at that wage too. If they want a job in that area, they're going to have to take it at that wage. So it suppresses the prevailing wage is what Todd's saying.
I hear what Todd's saying, and what we're hearing from the industry and what the statistics are showing us is there are not enough workers in Vermont to take these jobs. And I think that what Candace was alluding to earlier from the previous call is that they have workers that are coming back. And we look at the industry, for example, Basin Harbor Club and Green Mountain Inn in Stowe, they've been employing workers from Jamaica for 15, 20 years. This visa program has been around for a long time. It's specifically designed to help U.S. employers fill these crucial positions that cannot be filled by U.S. workers. So,
are you saying there are not enough workers in Vermont to do these jobs?
Correct.
So making it a wage that was double wouldn't help because there's nobody to take that job?
Well, the anecdote that I hear from the industry is that might solve some of the problems by poaching other resorts or other employers, but it's not going to solve all the problem.
Why not? If I'm the resort owner, I want to have workers work for me. I don't care if it damages my competition.
Well, I think that doesn't solve the problem universally for the state. I also think that we have to look at the operating expenses and the operating budgets of these resorts and the seasonal businesses. You know, these are seasonal, cyclical businesses. They have one opportunity in the summer or the winter to make their profits. They can't afford to have an off season. So if they don't have the workers to come in to help them out, then they're going to be behind in terms of making up revenue for the next year.
And let's bring another voice into this conversation. James Haslam is executive director of an advocacy organization called Rights and Democracy, which works on lots of different issues from a grassroots perspective. James, it's nice to have you back on the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
So one of the arguments about this H-2B visa program is that it's being capped, and that is hurting employers in the United States, and it could be hurting Vermont employers. In fact, some Vermont employers say it is hurting them because they cannot get the workers who they need to work in their companies at the time that they need them. Do you think that this program benefits the economy?
You know, I do not. I think the previous caller who had worked in the industry really did nail it on the head that, you know, this has been an industry that has paid low wages for a long time.
You're talking about tourism in general, hospitality in general, or ski industry in particular?
Certainly tourism and the service industry and the resorts have, you know, often had a lot of low-wage service jobs. And so the rationale is that they cannot find workers here in Vermont. And this is the same thing that is said, you know, across the country when they're trying to justify these programs. And we agree with you know, the previous caller that, you know, if we had an economy where jobs actually paid a livable wage and weren't, you know, sub-livable wages, poverty wages, then people would not only fill those jobs at a higher rate, we would also retain a lot of young Vermont people who are now moving out of state for jobs to meet their needs because they can't find livable wage jobs here in the state. And that the bottom line is we can't have, you know, big pieces of our economy or even key parts of our economy that are based on, you know, essentially exploitation. And the whole idea of bringing in workers on this program is that they are, you know, essentially in a indentured situation.
Well, you know, I mean, that is the argument that we heard earlier from Matt, that this is an indentured situation. On the other hand, you know, you can see people who would say, this is a job that I would like to have. It's a better job than I can have in my country, or it's a job that allows me to travel and see a part of the world I might not see. Maybe if I am a student, I don't need to make that much money. So it seems like a win for the company to be able to pay somebody a wage that they're happy with, and a win for the student, for example, who gets to come to the United States for a little while, and a win for the Vermont economy because it brings in tourism dollars that get spread throughout the Vermont economy. So if you're arguing that employers should be forced to pay higher wages to bring in more Vermont workers, could what you're arguing actually have a negative impact on the economy because employers wouldn't be able to hire as many workers and wouldn't be able to have as many resorts?
I don't think so. I mean, I think if you actually think about how the economy works, if we put more wages into people who live here's pockets, what most has happened in when we've raised the minimum wage, where they've had closer to livable wages in different parts of the country and certainly different parts of the world, the local economy flourishes more. People have more money to spend. There's certainly a lot of people in our state who would like to spend more time at some of the attractions in our state, but can't afford to because they're not paid enough money in their jobs. And so, you know, we think that there's an enormous opportunity to have an economy where people can actually afford to spend money, and that it will be bottom line better for our local economy and ultimately for these businesses. The piece around, you know, saying that this is you know, proof that that it's working is because this is a great opportunity. It's a win-win situation. I mean, I myself have talked to dozens of workers who have come on this program over the years, and they were sold a much different situation than often they show up for. And there's been very exploited situations. They come here in a very vulnerable, you know, situation. where they don't know anyone, they, you know, they basically don't have any rights, and they're, you know, very much, you know, in the hands of the employer. And
so why isn't enforcement of the program and enforcement of regulations the answer here? I mean, it seems like you're arguing two things, because one of them is the people in this program are being exploited, and that needs to be taken care of. But then you're also saying, but we shouldn't have this program at all.
Well, right. I mean, if you have the program, you should not allow exploitations. But, you know, to some degree, it's structured as a exploitive program, because workers come here with no right. I mean, if there are real needs for foreign workers to meet needs in our labor force, then they should have a path to citizenship. And that doesn't happen in this program. And if, you know, any kind of programs for any workers that are needed in our communities should have a path to citizenship if they're needed as part of the economy.
That's James Haslam, Executive Director of the grassroots advocacy group Rights and Democracy. James, thanks very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Commissioner Knight, I mentioned at the very beginning of the program that some people are quite worried about the cap on the number of H-2B visas, capped at 66,000. There was an exemption last year for workers who had already been vetted, had already come through on this program in the past, to allow them essentially over the cap to come back because they had already been through this whole program. Not sure whether that's likely to happen again. But given that it's only, as you mentioned, in 2015, 34 applications, it doesn't seem like this is much of a hardship for the Vermont economy. Am I wrong about that?
No, it's not for a hardship for the Vermont economy as a whole. It's a hardship for many of the businesses in the tourism industry. So, you know, as I said before, some of these foreign workers are coming in because the resorts and the ski resorts and the lodging properties cannot find some of these crucial positions. You know, I mean, the good news is obviously most of their workers are coming from Vermont, and they're hiring Vermonters. As to the enforcement issue from the previous caller, I mean, there are the Vermont Department of Labor does not have jurisdiction over the program. They do for minimum wage or overtime violations, but because it is a federal program, there are that's the agency, the U.S. Department of Labor, that enforces this. And so that would be the entity that these workers would contact if they had problems, if they experienced problems.
And do you think that there are problems with it?
Well, clearly the previous caller has spoken to people where there were problems. That I'm not hearing that, and it's not being demonstrated. When you look again at the number of returning workers that are coming, to me that suggests that something is working on the part of the arrangement between the employers. You know, if you look at Green Mountain Inn, they hire the same workers from Jamaica that come in. You know, there's only a small number of them. It's 6 to 8 a year. But year after year, those, in many cases, families of husband and wife team will come in to fill those housekeeping and kitchen positions.
Let's go to Jim, who's calling in from Stowe. Hi, Jim. Go right ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is, how are you today?
Great, thanks. Go right ahead.
Okay, I've spent years in the hospitality industry and experienced many peers and coworkers who have worked with the visa program. I've had the experience myself of having a belief that my hours were cut back, that their hours could be fulfilled. Now, is there a contract that said visa holders do get X amount of hours at least, that it would affect me as a local worker? You know, I just feel like within the company I worked for, I felt alienated during a slower season.
Okay, Jim, your line's a little bit hard to hear. So let me see if I can summarize what you're saying. So Jim wants to know about guaranteed payment or guaranteed hours for these seasonal workers so that they can be guaranteed a certain amount of money. And he wants to know that partly because does that mean that a Vermont worker who's a seasonal worker who doesn't have a same contract might actually not get as many hours because a resort is required to give those seasonal workers that certain number of hours? Jim, I think I have it right.
Yeah, that's not my understanding of how the program works. So they're very specific requirements. requirements that U.S. employers need to demonstrate before they hire these workers. And so they are hiring them under these conditions where they are going through prevailing wages first. So they need to obtain a prevailing wage determination from the National Center of Prevailing Wages.
I think what we're talking about here is, so let me rely on my experience as a waitress, for example. Even during the busy season, there are ebbs and flows, and so you might get cut for an evening because there's just not a lot of people there. And who gets cut is part of the question here, because if a seasonal foreign worker is required to have the number of hours, they're not going to get cut, and the Vermont worker is. I think that's what he's talking
about.
Yeah,
and I don't have the answer to that. We would have to rely on one of the lodging properties to call in and give us their examples.
All right, so if somebody knows the answer to that, you can send a note to vermontedition@vpr.net, and we'll see if we can get Jim an answer, and we'll put it in a mailbag if we do get a good answer. Wendy Knight is Vermont's Commissioner of Tourism and Marketing. New to the job. I think this is your first week, right, Commissioner?
Yes, this is my fourth day.
Well, welcome to the job. We appreciate you being here.
Of course.
And appreciate you talking today a little bit about Vermont's foreign seasonal workers. Thank you.
Thank you.